Are you more tired than you were a few years ago? Do you feel closer to burnout than ever before? Then this show is for you. Hi, I'm Chester Elton. This is my dear friend and co-author, Adrian Gostick.
Well, thanks, Jess. Yeah, on this show, we're going to talk about going from burned out to fully charged in our work and the rest of our lives with a really fascinating guest. As always, we hope the time you spend with us will help reduce the stigma of anxiety at work and in your personal life.
And with us is our new friend, Dr. Neha Sangwan, an internal medicine physician, founder and CEO of Intuitive Intelligence, and co-founder of the Conscious Business Leadership Academy, which partners with CEOs on implementing the principles of conscious capitalism in their organizations. She is also the author of the new book, Powered by Me, from McGraw-Hill, and has devoted two decades to identifying the root causes of stress and burnout. We couldn't ask for a better guest, could we, Adrian? Dr. Neha, welcome to the podcast. We're delighted to have you here.
What an honor to be with you. Thank you.
You know, before we jump in, I just want to give a shout out to our new sponsor, Magic Mind. You know, Adrian, you and I have both tried it. It's really a remarkable, I don't want to call it an energy drink because it's more than that. You know, I've tried energy drinks and shots and you get that high, but then you get that crash. It doesn't happen with Magic Mind. And I've never had a product that said, by the way, it'll tamp down your anxiety and make your days a little better. For me, Mondays in particular, they recommend you take it in the morning. You know, you can take it with your coffee or whatever. It really did smooth out my day. I was focused. I got more done and I didn't have the crash. I know you had a similar experience, right?
Yeah, you know, it's really been great. You know, I started drinking these little, they're just little green shots in the morning, and they get me in the right state of mind for a productive day. It's not like this energy boost. It's just you have just more energy through the day, less anxiety. It really is beneficial. And so, again, wonderful natural ingredients that we couldn't recommend more. And because you're listening to our podcast, there are some wonderful promotional, exciting offers for you right now. Go to magicmind.com/janleading, J-A-N leading, and use our special code, leading20. And that'll get you an extra 20% off on one order, or 1 month when you order three and you subscribe for 3 months. A great offer.
Yeah, and it's available only in January. So hurry up and make your order. We've become big fans. We know you will be too.
Well, you say first, Dr. Neha, that we are in this epidemic of exhaustion. I have no idea what you're talking about there. Never felt that. So I don't think you have to explain that. You just have to explain what got us here.
So I think that if we really kind of zoom out and we look at where we started and where we are, our ancestors, right, spent most of their days outdoors foraging food and defending themselves from predators. They were very tuned into their bodies. They knew that a rustling in the trees was the difference between life and death. So they were very tuned in. You know what we do? We wake up and we look at our readiness score to see how we slept. We don't ask ourselves whether we feel rested. We've got a ring or we've got a phone that's going to give us the number on an app that tells us how ready we are for the world. So we have actually spent our time societally speeding things up. And whether it was from us starting to mass produce agriculture, the Industrial Revolution, the, you know, internet, all the ways that we have collectively used our brains as a society, thinking that faster is better, we got to do more with less, and success requires struggle. So there's all these beliefs that we have collectively put our heads together that we value. And then here's the biggest piece of it. We want to belong. So when society tells us that faster is better and we do more with less and that's how you win in the game of life, ever since we were young, we wanted to belong to our families, have our parents feel proud of us, have our siblings and our friends like us, do well by corporate standards of whatever the metrics are. We achieve and we keep looking to see what the world outside us calls as success. And then we adapt ourselves to become that. And I think we've gotten a little lost because now we're heading into all of this AI, and we're the ones speeding this up so fast that our own biology has not been put in the equation. And I think that's one of the biggest reasons that we are in the place that we're in.
You know, it's so interesting you talk about the sense of, you know, wanting to belong. What does success look like? You know, we really do care what other people think of us. I, you know, you're really speaking to Adrian on that. Me, I could care less, really, what anybody else thinks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's what I've always said about you.
It's so spot on, right? Because I love the old adage, the guy says, why do we care so much about what our neighbors and people around us think? We don't know them. And if we did, we probably wouldn't like them. You know, why do we spend so much time trying to please them? Well, you know, you start your book off with a story about you being overwhelmed as a young physician. And so what did you learn from that experience? And what have you brought to this work because of that?
Well, I am the middle daughter of immigrants, so three sisters. And, you know, now I can look back and say much more clearly that without my parents speaking it to me, they showed me that what mattered the most was stability, security, and belonging. They were immigrants. They came to a new place. And so while biologically it is in us, we need belonging as much as we need things to be taken care of in our biology. I mean, it is inside of us. It is something that it's a core need. And so when there's experiences in your life, like my parents were immigrants, that was even heightened for me. I was sent away when I was young to live with my grandparents. Coming back and having to re-assimilate into my family after 2 years was an experience that caused belonging to be even more important to me. So I grow up and I start to realize that if I am a people pleaser in the world, if I take care of what my dad wants, which is a boy who's an engineer, so I could at least take care of the engineering piece, my mom, who missed her calling as a doctor, as soon as I realized my parents didn't need to fight about whether I was going to be an engineer or a doctor, I just said, everyone can stop. I'll do both. Everybody, you know, no one needs to fight about this. And I happen to be good at math and science. And so this all seemed like a really natural fit. But at some point, I don't know that it was my idea. I think it was really a child wanting to belong and please the Indian community, be revered in society. If very young, this trauma, which was me being sent away and then being brought back in my family, nobody meant it that way. I mean, in the Indian culture, you hand kids around to the extended family all over the place. No one thinks anything of it. But the break in relationship to me was huge. And I was willing to find a way that would never be the case. And here's something else I'll tell you. I was willing to work straight through, push through my body rather than partner with it. That's how bad I wanted to belong. So when I saw that there was a path, there was an opportunity where not only would I not be the one sent away again, but in fact, I would be the one that no one could be without. When you're a doctor, when you're a healer, when people are in crisis, you're the one they turn to. So I have to tell you, I didn't know it at the time. I was subconsciously being driven by my previous life and experience, wanting to make other people happy without even realizing it. And I think we do this in our lives. Many people do this in their lives. Most people do this in their lives subconsciously if they have not spent time reflecting on it. And so here I come. I'm 33 years old and I am using, you know, Mountain Dews and Snickers bars and whatever the world wants me to use to override my biology to get through 36-hour shifts, to finish this training, you set a goal, I'm going to meet it. If that means I push through my body rather than partner with it, no problem. And basically one day I walked in and I had 18 patients and someone said to me, hey, we got someone sick today. Can you take the alpha pager, which means handling all incoming transfers from the region, on top of my own schedule? I didn't even hesitate. I said, sure. Put my hand out, took the pager. It was way too much for me to handle. And so I looked at the nurse about 5 hours into my shift and I said, hey, Nina, can you give me 40 mil equivalents of IV potassium? And could you hang that for the gentleman in 636? And she looked at me and she said, Dr. Sangwan, are you okay? That was my first indication that I might not be. And the reason I say that to you is I want you to know how much I had perfected being someone who was tuned in to the outside world with no clue that was the fourth time in under 5 minutes I had asked her the same question and she had answered me every time. So it was a rude wake-up call for me, but here's the bigger piece. In the corporate world, when someone's not doing well, we send them to EAP, the Employee Assistance Program. And who does EAP send them to? They send them to me. But when my beliefs and my schooling is to push through my body, not partner with it until it breaks down, you can imagine my bewilderment when I realized not only did I not know what was going on, but neither did my colleagues. And neither had I even learned about this in medical school. So the last 20 years have been me saying, we can't just give people some time off and some cocktail of medications to get them sleeping again and, you know, depression, anxiety, whatever they're experiencing. Those things are important, but they're not enough. And so what I did in Powered by Me is I decided, okay, everybody gets here with their unique fingerprint. Some way, some choices they've made. I gave you some examples of how I became a people pleaser and how I really, you know, my history, my upbringing, my desire to belong showed up in my world. But each one of us has a different story that's as unique and as interesting and as painstaking and all of that. And so if we don't know what that is, we will be driven by it and have no idea.
That's such a powerful story. And thank you, Neha, for sharing that. That's, you know, I think many of us have reached that point. So I want to get practical for a minute. Give us some practical steps. How do we know when our gas tank is getting low with our mm-hmm. energy, that it's being depleted? And how do we figure out maybe what's causing it, what we can do to turn that situation around to fill that tank back up?
Sure. So I've come to the conclusion, right, the World Health Organization in 2019 is when they really acknowledged that burnout is, you know, unmanaged stress in the workplace, essentially. Okay, here's what I'm going to say. I'm betting that they're going to evolve. I don't care where your stress comes from. It doesn't just have to be the workplace. But I think that's like a legal and okay way for people to accept that work is stressful. So that doesn't mean somehow you are deficient. I want to start with this. Burnout is not a personal failure. Burnout is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call that the strategies that got you here are not going to get you where you want to go. So in my life, Mountain Dew and Snickers bars and pleasing everybody else around me got me there. And boy, it was not a bad place. Mechanical engineer, biomedical engineer, Motorola, internal medicine physician, board certified, all these things got me to a pretty good place. But guess what? It wasn't going to get me to where I was going. So what if I wasn't some huge failure, but I was in fact a really creative soul that came into this earth and figured out ways to navigate things I didn't understand? Wow, that's pretty impressive. Okay, Neha, good job. Some caffeine, sugar, Mountain Dew, like, good job. Now, this is how I want people to kind of reframe this. It's a wake-up call. So wherever you are, from burned out to fully charged on the spectrum, and that's everybody who's listening, you're somewhere between burned out to fully charged. You can figure that out in 15 minutes by where you have a net gain or a net drain of energy on a physical, mental, emotional, social, and spiritual level. And so why don't I give you, I've been on a book tour for several months and I give an actual pulse check for them to go through and kind of do a little self-assessment on each of these levels. Here's the trick. Not only will they'll also get 6 videos, so I will walk you through each of these sections in just a few minutes, telling you what it means. Here's the trick. You can't just use your head. we have all collectively used our heads to speed up the outside world. The first step is you actually tuning into your body, because your body has a unique language. Your physiology communicates with you. It's communicating with you right now. It is telling you whether you're in your comfort zone. It's telling you whether you feel stretched out of your comfort zone. It's telling you whether you're resonating with something we're saying or you're not. Your body is in constantly, it's constantly talking. And the question is, are you listening? So step one is, how is your body communicating with you? When I get out of my comfort zone, my body, my throat constricts and my stomach turns. That's mine. Do you guys know when you get out of your comfort zone, how your body communicates with you? How does it let you know? Sometimes it's sweating, jaw clenching, right shoulder pain, back pain. Like, do you have any?
I got all that. I got all that right now.
Really? Yeah.
No, yeah. It's true though. Yeah. I think there's different things for me that when I'm getting tense, you know, definitely my kind of stomach kind of tightens and yeah, you definitely feel it and chest.
Yeah. See, that's different. So that's different than the way I feel it. What about you, Chester?
Yeah. What happens to me is I just find it very hard to focus.
Yes.
You know, I'm hearing people talking, but I have no idea what they're saying. You know,
what I call that? I call that like having noise canceling headphones on. Like it feels like things are coming in and I don't know what's going on, but like I'm in my own space in my head. So that comes for me when I'm hitting panic. So there's certain signals that your body gives you early on, and then they're either more intense when you're hitting panic, you know, getting out of your comfort zone is one thing. And then sometimes they're more intense when you hit panic, or they're completely different signals. But here's what I want people listening to know. You have to know how the unique language that your body uses to communicate with you, your own physiology, your heart racing, your stomach turning, headaches, back pain, whatever it is, because it's giving you signals early and they're the first signals you're going to get in a meeting when someone takes credit for your work. For you to know that something was off, you have to be tuned into your body. If you're sitting up in your head and you're thinking about your rebuttal, you're not understanding what's actually happening. You're getting defensive. And so these are net drains of energy when you don't understand how to pick up signals early, right? And that's in the physical section. Mentally, if something goes wrong, someone's late and you blame yourself or you project onto them and blame them, you don't get curious, you get furious. Boy, that can be a mental and emotional drain. On a social level, just write down five of the people, top people or groups of people that you spend the most time with. And then after you write down their names, I want you to pay attention to whether your body is constricting, tight, heavy, or open and at ease. You have to use more than your brain on this assessment. You have to use your body. Because anytime there's a drain, your mind may say, oh, it's fine. Oh, yeah, everything's fine. But if your body feels heavy or constricted, the answer is no, it's a drain.
You know, it's so interesting you mentioned that because I have what's called the caller ID test. You know, you know, you get a call and what name makes you go, hey, this is going to be great. I'm so glad you called. The other one is, geez. You know, this
well,
is
the question
be...
is, do I pick up or do I not?
Right. can I call you later? And what by that I mean, can I never call you back? Would that be okay with you? You know, it's so interesting. You talk about listening to your body's language. And I was just thinking, what is my body's language? And I think, unfortunately for me, my body's language is French. The problem is, I don't speak French, you know, so that's a real disconnect. And I thought that was funnier than you did. I mean,
No, but let me really quick tell you this. It starts when we're young. So when you're a little kid and you're playing with your brother and your mom says, hey, honey, it's time to go to school. And you say, I can't go, mom. I have a tummy ache.
Right.
Your parent will say to you, I just saw you playing with your brother. You're fine. Get on the bus. But you know what you just told her? You just told her there's danger there. I'm getting bullied. I'm alone in the cafeteria. My teacher isn't paying attention to me. Something happened instantly in your body that is saying something very different than she is understanding.
Isn't that interesting?
And so very young, we teach children to tune out of their body, stop crying, and don't come out until you have a smile on your face.
Right. Suck it up. Yeah.
And so if there's anyone out there that's saying, I don't know how to tune into my body, first of all, I'll say it's in chapter 4 of Powered by Me. There's a whole chapter on it. But here's the way that I would have you do it. Grab a smooth stone, grab an AirPod case in your hand. When you're in a meeting, I want you, when something changes emotionally, directionally, something surprises you, tune in and ask yourself, how is my body letting me know that something just changed? If you can't think of anything like, oh, you don't know that your throat's constricting or your stomach's turning or any of that, I want you to say, I can feel this AirPod in my hand, this case in my hand. Because what we'll do now is we'll take the external world and we'll get you to start feeling your own sensations. And after you do that for 3 or 4, you know, meetings, pretty soon you're going to say, oh, wow, my heart is racing a little bit. I can feel the beating of my heart. Oh, wow, my neck. Oh, it's my shoulder. And what I want people to know is up until now, you've said on your way to work, make it a double. When you're at the coffee store, you look at the barista and you say, you know what, make it a double, because you wanted to zero out all of those signals so you could just keep becoming a human doing, not a human being. And now what I'm telling you is you're draining energy. If that's you and you want to know how to recover it, it's time to slow down and tune in rather than, you know, so you can speed up.
Excellent.
So you got to slow down to speed up.
I want to get our time's racing by here, and we've got so many good things that you've shared with us. I do have a question, and this has been a focus for me for the last couple of years, actually, is this idea. You talk in your book about forging deeper bonds with your community and enhancing connections
yep.
with people. How does that help your energy levels?
Oh, my gosh. It synergistically empowers you. It multiplies your joys and it divides your sorrows. When you have someone who can understand you, who gets you, who is empathic, who in front of whom you can be your true self, not your social media version of yourself, right? That looks good, the background, the lighting, only the best pictures are. No, when you can be who you really are, there's a sense of connection and community that will let you know that no matter what we're going to go through, we've got each other. And if you have each other, you're willing to take more risks. You're willing to learn and grow. You're willing to not be perfect. And in a world that needs innovation more than it needs anything else, we have to learn to trust ourselves and trust each other to collaborate. Otherwise, we're not gonna do very well in a world moving this fast.
Nihal, this has been really, really powerful, really important information for our listeners. How do people learn more about your work? Where would you send them?
Sure. Well, my website is intuitiveintelligenceinc.com. So INC at the end of that, intuitiveintelligenceinc.com. And I'd like to give them that burnout assessment as well. So it would be intuitiveintelligenceinc.com/burnout and then a hyphen RX, like prescription. So mm-hmm. they're going to get they're going to get 6 mini videos and they're going to get an actual assessment that they can click on and interact in. In about 15 minutes, they're going to know where they are from burned out to fully charged at work and in life. And I am all over social on either LinkedIn would be Neha Sangwan MD. Otherwise it's at and spell out the word doctor at DOCTORNEHA.
Awesome. I think, people are going to be checking this out. And thanks for the free resources. Our listeners love free, and we do too. So, hey, last question then. You've talked so much about the body's clues. And one thing that I wanted to get in before we send you off is boundaries. I think this is really important. I mean, as you're getting pushed and, you didn't have any boundaries, I don't think, when you were a young resident or a young physician. Talk about boundaries and how that helps us with our energy levels.
So burnout is boundaries. Those two words might as well be synonymous, because anywhere that you're losing energy, there's a need for an adjustment of boundaries. Sometimes they need to be a little more loose. Sometimes they need to be a little more rigid. sometimes they're too rigid and you've now shut out criticism and negativity, but you've also shut out connection and love. And so boundaries are, drawing healthy boundaries is an art. This is chapter 18 in the book, but essentially what you want to do is, you ultimately, the goal is, you don't want to shut out other people's feedback and input. You want to know what you value. You want to be tuned into your body's physiology so you can pick up signals early. You want to be open to other people's input and feedback, because they're going to illuminate where you have blind spots, where you could be better, how you could be more effective with others. But here's the key. At the bottom of it all, when it's time to make a decision, this is my wish for you, that you can turn up the sound of your own heart slightly louder than you can hear the voices of others. So that when you make a decision, you're including yourself in the decision that you're making and in the equation of all of this. Because a lot of times what people do is what I did, which is exclude me and just focus on everybody else. Listen to what other people want of me and don't pay attention to that. Or they do the opposite. They only care about themselves and they don't want to talk about everybody else. And you know, we're in an election year, and here's what I have to say about that. There's me, we world. And we need to know who we are, know what we value, know that we are connected to others, and that no matter what we do and say, we all live in this world together. And so let's figure out a way for a win-win-win.
Yeah, what a wonderful way to end the podcast. Thank you so much, Doctor. You know, it's so delightful to have so many different experts come and talk to us about how to manage stress and burnout. And pick up the book, Powered by Me. It's from McGraw-Hill. It's from our new friend, Dr. Neha Sangwan. Tons of great practical, you know, things that you can do to manage your stress and your levels. I can't thank you enough for finding the time for us. Really appreciate you being with us today.
Thanks, Neha.
You bet. What a joy. Thank you, guys.
Well, Adrian, another great guest, and always fun to be on the podcast with you, my friend, and fun to have our new sponsor, Magic Mind. We've got a great offer. I know you've really loved it. I've really loved it, made my Mondays better. Tell us again about the offer from Magic Mind.
Well, right now, Magic Mind is offering listeners of Anxiety at Work a special offer, a month free, when you subscribe for 3 months. You go to magicmind.com/janleading. J-A-N, leading, and use the code LEADING20. I've tried this out already. It works. I know it does. You get an extra 20% off on one order, or again, a month free when you subscribe for 3. Try it out. It really will bring down your anxiety, give you more energy during the day that's not jittery. All natural ingredients. We couldn't recommend it more.
Adrian, what a delightful guest. And boy, so much good stuff. I mean, you know, this book that she's written, Powered by Me, and Tuning Into Yourself.
Yeah.
Tons of great takeaways. I'm curious, what were 2 or 3 that you took away?
Yeah, let's start there with this idea of, you know, our bodies and tuning into potential burnout. I love, you know, how self-aware that she was and you were as well. Is look, no, this is what happens when I get close to burnout, and we just have to be aware of that. As she said, you know, for generations, for years, we've known, you know, people have known their bodies better than we do now. And we rely on our doctors to tell us. My mom had cancer 5 times in her life. So the first time she was in her 50s, so 40 years ago, and she went to her doctor and he goes, no, you're perfect health. And she goes, no, I'm not. There's something wrong. And keep looking. And she kept going back and back until finally they found breast cancer. Wow. And she was the one who told him there's something wrong. And she knew every time, every one of the 5 times, just incredibly tuned in. You know, are we tuned in to ourselves and knowing when we're getting to that point where we're about to burn out?
Yeah. I thought it was interesting when she said, know your history. You know, she said, look, I'm the child of immigrants. And it was stability, security, and belonging. And knowing that that was so important, you know, guided a lot of the way she behaved. And also the, you know, their expectations, you know, in my culture, you're a doctor or an engineer? And I said, well, I'll do both. Of course. Why wouldn't you? You know, and then tuning into how other people react to you as well. I thought her story about I'd given the same or asked the same question of this nurse three times.
Yeah.
And she said, hey, there's something wrong here because I've answered this three times now. You keep asking. Yeah. Clearly, there's something wrong. I've always thought, you know, those things where they put these doctors on these 36 hours.
Oh, insane. Just,
yeah. I don't want to be the patient at hour 34.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I want to be in the first couple of hours there.
And we work with a lot of hospitals, that are realizing now, well, that's the way we've always done it. And it doesn't make it right. And so, that was really interesting what she was talking about growing up. But that self-awareness that, you know, when we grew up, we didn't know how to process things. So we just followed our influencers, our parents or others who we felt like, well, they know what we're talking about. And we don't do sometimes what we need to do. We also don't figure out how to process the hard emotions that are going on within us. Now let's turn to kind of when your tank is low. I thought this was really an interesting. Burnout is not a personal failure. It's a wake-up call.
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Yeah. Pay attention. And that burnout is unmanaged stress. Isn't that interesting? You know, because if you're managing your stress and you're listening to your body, there's no reason for you to be burned out in most cases is what I took away from that. Yeah. And then, you know, you asked that great question about boundaries, how important that is to set up boundaries and say, you know, I can't say yes to everything, you know, and those boundaries are helpful. And lastly, for me was the human connection. Who are people that energize you? And that say to you, hey, I've got your back. We can work through this together. I'm safe. I'm loved. I'm supported. I'm such a fan of that. You know, COVID, I think, took so much of that away from us. It's so important to reinstate who's your tribe. Who are the people that you can, you know, really rely on that will say, hey, you got to take a break. You know, you got to take a break. Go to a hockey game.
Go to a hockey game and yell at somebody. That's great. No, and so good. And I think, you know, even bringing up the politics at the end, this is going to be a stressful year. Let's just face it. Whichever side you vote for or wherever you are in the world, this is a stressful year. And so be aware of that in your body. Be aware of yourself. Bring down those stress levels and make sure you're doing those things that give you peace of heart and peace of mind. That's the idea. Yeah. And for us, Chess, you know, really, who brings down our stress levels? It's Brent Klein, our producer. nobody better.
Such a smooth transition. Well done there. Yeah, I mean, he really does. He takes this, you know, mess that we give him and he makes these beautiful podcasts for us. And of course, Christy Lawrence, she gives us great energy. She finds wonderful, wonderful guests for us. And of course, we're always grateful for all of you that tune in and share the podcast with friends and family. If there's some good takeaways there, we so appreciate that. So if you like the podcast, please share it. We'd also love you to visit theCultureWorks.com for some free resources to help you and your team and the culture where you work thrive.
That's right. And we love speaking to audiences around the world, virtually or in person, on the topics of culture, employee engagement, teamwork, resilience. Give us a call. We'd love to speak to you about your event. So, Chess, I'm going to give you the last word.
Well, you know, I love the title of the doctor's book, Powered by Me. I just want to say, Adrian, I'm powered by you. So thank you very much. You reduce my stress. Take care, everybody. Have a great week. Cheers.